السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، وصلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقد قال الله تعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, I've been discussing the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the past few weeks. And there is no doubt that until the ummah had akhlaq, people came into the fold of Islam without much preaching. It was the akhlaq, the character of the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the akhlaq, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whosoever followed them, it was their akhlaq which brought people into the fold of Islam. Read the history of Islam and we will see large groups of people, great numbers of people entering into the fold of Islam, not with speeches, but with akhlaq. They used to come into the fold of Islam with akhlaq. Today our akhlaq is such that those who are in Islam, they too want to leave Islam and distance themselves from Islam, because they say that the Muslim behavior was this and that. So of course we are not going to blame the Quran and the Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or Islam for any weakness that is in the Muslim of today. It is our weakness, we must admit, we must acknowledge, and we must make an improvement in our akhlaq. So I've been discussing Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's consolation to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he came back from the cave of Hira. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is very worried, very concerned, because it was the first time that this had happened to him in the cave of Hira. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had appeared, he had squeezed him and asked him to read. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ma ana biqari'in, and the whole incident that took place there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very concerned for his life. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha assured him that, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim, wa tahmilul kal, wa taksibul ma'adum, wa taqri zayif, wa tu'inu ala nawai bil haq. Aw kama qalat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was she really talking about? She was not talking about the speeches of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, yet the speech of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam itself, there was nothing but noor in it and it attracted people towards Islam. But here she's talking about his akhlaq, that you have excellent character, you maintain family ties and relationships, you carry the burdens of others, you earn in fact for the poor, for the needy, for the destitute, you assist and help, or you are very hospitable to your guests, and you assist and help those people who are legitimately suffering. Now we have discussed all these things to some extent, and it all followed up from that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, of which it's termed as hadith al-Qudsi, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and it is reported in Bukhari Sharif by Hazrat Atta radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa hirzan lil ummiyin. O my beloved Nabi, we have sent you as a witness, we have sent you as a giver of glad tidings and as a warner to the ummah, and you are a protector for the unlettered. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, سَمَّيْتُكَ mutawakkil, I have named you mutawakkil, the one who has absolute trust in me. أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي. Allah ta'ala says, أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي. You are my abd, you are my rasul. سَمَّيْتُكَ mutawakkil. Laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz. You are not harsh and hard-hearted. Wala sakhabin fil aswaq. You are not loud-mouthed in the bazaars and marketplaces. All these things have been discussed to some extent over the past few Jumu'ahs. Although each and every one of these aspects we can go on discussing. But now let us take one more in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this hadith al-Qudsi, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالسَّيِّئَةَ وَلَاكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَخْفِرُ. That this was another unique sifat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his beautiful trait and beautiful character that he had, was that he did not repel evil with evil. That when a person behaved in an abusive manner, when the person behaved in an uncivilized manner with him, when a person behaved in a derogatory manner, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not behave in a similar manner with him. Now this is again where the test of our character comes. It is very easy to make all these type of loud claims that we are the followers of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we've got great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and we sing the praises of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in poetry and in speech. All that is easy. But let somebody just sway us and then see what happens to us. Let somebody just curse us and then see if we don't curse him, his father, his grandfather and the whole progeny. If somebody has to just bump us accidentally or trample our toe accidentally, then to see what happens to our tempers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his sifat is this, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيَّةَ بِالسَّيَّةَ وَلَاكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَخْفِرُ. He does not repel evil with evil. He forgives and he overlooks. And this is exactly what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, or he orders, that this is what we should be doing. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Repel with that which is better, which is good. Then between him and whom, between you and him, if there is that enmity, that hatred, that dislike, that malice, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you will become intimate and bosom friends. That is in most cases that will happen. If that person has got a little bit of intelligence and if that person is a little civilized and is a normal human being, then when you are going to repel that evil with good, then it will soften his heart. You will win him over. Of course, if that person is one of those who does not have any kind of understanding, he does not have any kind of akhlaq, and he does not have any kind of education and any kind of character in him, then of course he will still continue with his violence and enmity. But generally, if you are going to repel the evil with good, then it will soften the person's heart. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was his sifat. And we will find this throughout his life, that he never took revenge for his own personal self. Wherever you find Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took some revenge, outwardly it seemed as if it was revenge, it was for the sake of the ummah, when the whole ummah was suffering and when the enemies came in battle, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to fight against them. But for his personal self, all the torture that he went through, all the persecution, all the trouble, all the swearing, cursing and abuse, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never took revenge. Now that was his character. But again, I would like to repeat what I mentioned in one of my talks, that Islam is a very balanced religion, that we are allowed to take revenge to the extent that we have been harmed. It's not sinful. If a person has been harmed and he is one of those people that cannot tolerate, cannot bear until he has taken some revenge, then to the extent that he has been harmed, it is permissible. But when we are talking about following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and having love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam demands that from us that we too should learn to forgive, to overlook. Unfortunately, our situation is this, that we will do something wrong, and when somebody has to point it out to us, then we will lose our tempers. We will park our car incorrectly. We will park it outside a person's driveway. that person has got somebody that is sick in his home and has to be rushed to the hospital, or even if there's nobody sick and has to go to the hospital, that is his driveway. If we parked it by mistake, then we should apologize and tell that person, I'm very sorry, I didn't know that this was a driveway. Sometimes it happens that you can't make it out that it's a driveway. But purposely when the person parks, and then that person is bringing it to his attention, then we lose our tempers. Can't you be patient? I was going to pray. So what has our prayer got to do with that? At such a time, I'm repeatedly emphasizing this, because until we won't have akhlaq in our lives, we will never be able to reach Allah Ta'ala. We will never get the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we will never be able to attract anybody towards the deen of Islam. Our prayers are very important. 5 times a day to pray is very important. We must come early and park our car properly and then come into the masjid and pray. And after namaz again, we should make sure that we are not obstructing those people that are leaving. That is part of our teaching of Islam. But here, if the person has come late, whether it is Jum'ah or whether it is any other namaz time, if the person is delayed for some reason or the other, then he must not just park his car in the center of the road or park it out on somebody's driveway. And sometimes it is the driveway of a non-Muslim brother. And then come away to the masjid and say, I was missing my salat. Miss the salat, there's no problem. If accidentally that happened, it doesn't mean purposely go late and then miss salat and then say, I was missing my salat. Or tap at the door and seek permission. Tell that person, I require just 5 minutes to go to the masjid and to pray, to go to the mosque, make my prayers, and I will be back in 5 minutes. I'll really appreciate if you allow me to park, and there's my keys also, you can keep it here in case you have to remove the car. There are ways of going about everything. But we just do anything haphazardly, and then when that non-Muslim or that Muslim complains, then we lose our temper. Can't you have patience? Who do you think you are? And then it leads to all kinds of problems in society. The same issue with the azan, which people are complaining about. Sharia didn't say that you must put your mic full blast and let the whole area be awakened 4 o'clock in the morning. Sharia says that it is duty or duty to give azan. Get a person with a nice, loud, clear, sweet voice and tell him to give the azan. And if he, when he gives that azan, then we can, then if somebody is objecting, then we can also take up that issue. But we have in areas where there are 10 masjids in one small area, and each one wants to compete with the other full blast. And then when they complain and then they find problems with Islam, then we want to fight and go to court. But which Quran or which Sunnah or which Hadith Sharif says that you must have your azan over the mic? Does it say anywhere? Yes, we can fight for the right to give azan. So in everything, we overstep the mark, and after that we say, our right, our right. So learn from the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that repel evil with good. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quraysh troubled him so much. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was told, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, make baddua for these people. Curse them, because your baddua is going to be accepted. So curse them, make baddua for them. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I have not been sent to make baddua and curse. I have been sent as rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy unto the worlds. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, said that if only you had done exactly what Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did, asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or if you had also cursed us or invoked curses against us, and prayed to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam prayed, then we all would have been destroyed. But you kept on saying that, oh Allah, forgive them, for they know not. For Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw that all my preaching and all my inviting and all my calling during the day and during the night and under all conditions, nothing seems to be having any effect, and that then Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, رَبِّ لَا تَزَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِن تَزَرْهُمْ يُذِلُّوا عِبَادًا وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. There's no time to go into tafsir of all those ayat. But then he made baddua and Allah Ta'ala destroyed the people. So he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu, you did not do that. Instead of that, you kept on making dua that, oh Allah, give them hidayat, for they know not. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in Taif, who does not know what suffering he went through. Being pelted with stones, bleeding until his shoes get filled with his blood. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But at that time the angels are sent of the mountains. Says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if you want, then Allah ta'ala will crush these people between these mountains. We are the angels of the mountains. All you have to do is order, and Allah ta'ala will crush these people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if they don't accept Islam, then I have hope that the progeny, somebody will accept Islam. I don't wish them to be destroyed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had that foresight Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given him, that wahi, that these people inshallah one day will accept Islam, or their progeny will accept Islam. So he was not prepared to curse them, because here again the suffering was on his own self. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for them but did not curse, otherwise they could have been crushed. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given poison by a Jewish woman. In Khaybar he was given poison by a Jewish woman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tasted the food and realized that there was poison. She admitted also that she was the one who had poisoned the food. Anyone else would have sought revenge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forgave her. And yet the effect of that poison remained on him until his passing away. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which place he did not forgive? Those who were thirsty for his blood. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was full of forgiveness, full of forgiveness. And these were the things that brought people into the fold of Islam. That they saw that here we are behaving in an uncivilized manner. We are rude, we are crude. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is always repelling evil with that which is good. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul was the head of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. And he left no stone unturned in causing problems for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He even carried out a scandal against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that na'uzu billah she was involved with an illicit relationship with Safwan bin Wail. There's a whole story. Now imagine the beloved wife of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this kind of rumor is being spread, and this kind of mischief is being spread. But there too, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed, clearing the name of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not order that take the sword and take this munafiq's neck off. Because he was outwardly claiming that Abdullah bin Ubay was saying, I'm a Muslim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forgave him. Not only forgave him when he died, then Abdullah bin Ubay's son, who was a Muslim, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to his father to give something. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave his own in a garment or sheet or whatever he was wearing as a kafan for that munafiq. Which person will have this kind of a magnanimous heart? So therefore Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha said, innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kalb. And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that wala yadfau sayyata bi sayya walakin yafu wa yaghfir. There was nothing but forgiveness. It was very disturbing when I was given a tape by somebody who attended a certain program here in Durban, in which there was a talk given on the Palestinian situation. And there, the speaker says that it is justified for us to kill those little children of the Jews, because if they grow up, they will grow up and kill our children. So therefore it is justified if we have to kill the Jews' children. Now is this Islam? I love Jews, I love Jerusalem. I love Masjid al-Aqsa. We all love Masjid al-Aqsa. We all love Jerusalem. We all love the Palestinians. But in our emotions, we must not say such things, which is totally un-Islamic. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is even forgiving the parents And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, don't kill their women, don't kill those rabbis also who are not actively engaged, they are non-combatants, don't kill them. When were all those things revealed? When did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam order them that you must not kill? At that time, when they were actively engaged, when the Jews were troubling Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to the extreme, they left no stone unturned. They were persecuting and torturing and killing and murdering. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that don't kill their ladies, don't kill their children, don't do this, don't do that. And we say, no, kill their children too, because if they grow up, they will kill our children. Na'uzu billah, is that Islam? Will that kind of preaching, will we bring people into the fold of Islam? So many people amongst the Jews accepted Islam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, no, he was a rabbi, but he accepted Islam. And so many others accepted Islam. Why did they accept Islam? And yet they were thirsty for the blood of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at one time. It was that beautiful preaching, it was that beautiful character of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which brought them into Islam. But if we are going to all the time talk about nothing but kill, murder, even their children now, don't spare them, then you think we are going to bring anybody into the fold of Islam? We are going to chase people away from the fold of Islam. Yes, we are being fought against, so we have to fight against. But for everything there has to be a balance. We have to go by the Quran and Sunnah. If we are going to do injustice, then victory will be delayed for a very, very long time. If we are going to do injustice, then victory is going to be delayed for a very, very long time. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not tolerate injustice, whether it comes from a Muslim or a non-Muslim. So we have to look at the character and akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Did he say anywhere that kill these children of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, because when they're going to grow up, then they will kill our children? Did he say anywhere? When the kuffar and mushrikeen were giving Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions so much of trouble, when they were persecuting, torturing, so much so that they made them leave their homes and belongings in Makkah Mukarramah and make hijrah to Madina Tayyibah, at that time also did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, kill their children? Yes, accidentally if some child got killed, then we must admit that it was an accident. Don't justify it. Now these are the type of things that are not palatable. People cannot seem to stomach. They said these people are, they're showing weakness. Wallah, it is no weakness. Our strength lies in that we be honest and truthful. That is our strength. That we be honest and truthful, that if accidentally if some child of the Jew got killed, then we say that it was an accident. But we don't justify it that because your parents are killing us and our children, so therefore we are going to kill your children. We are going to kill you. That is not Islam. That is not Sharia. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's character and akhlaq, we can go on talking. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ سَيَّةَ بِسَيَّةَ in this hadith of Qudsi. وَلَاكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَخْفِرْ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam overlooks, forgives. You will find that in the life of his companions. You will find that in the life of the awliya-i siddiqeen. You will find that in the life of every true Muslim. That he does not seek revenge. He always wants to forgive. And it was this forgiveness which was a very conspicuous quality in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as the awliya-i siddiqeen are concerned, because we will say that that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our times, where can we get such kind of incidents? Very recently, not very, very long ago, there was a very pious, muttaqi, wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Delhi. And he was walking and somebody snatched his purse, money bag. Now of course we are not told to go to that extreme, but I'm trying to show you that look at their love for Rasulullah and their character. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also seeing that this person is a wali and he's of a very high level and caliber, so now and again Allah ta'ala shows their karamat also. It doesn't happen every time, otherwise people will then just believe in what they see. So Allah Ta'ala now and again shows some karamat to show that Allah Ta'ala has got these powers and these walis are of such kind of character. So now that thief, he's trying to find a way out after snatching that bag and he's running with that bag and he cannot find a way out. He goes into this gully, that gully, that he just can't find a way out. He can't find his way back to his home. So he went and sat down outside the shop where this wali used to pass up and down for salat. And he said that, do you know that person whose bag this is? He said, what happened? He said, this is what happened. That I have gone blind. From the time I snatched his bag, I just can't seem to find my way out. So he said, but he will pass here again for the next salat. Wait here. So when he came back for the next salat, he said that this is your bag, I'm very sorry, and this is what happened. He said, no, forget about it, I made you maaf. He says, how did you make me maaf? This is what has happened to me. He said, well, that Allah Ta'ala knows best, but I have made you maaf. So then somebody asked him that as soon as he snatched the bag and you made him maaf, he said, yes, I thought of it, that this is a Muslim. And on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that I will not enter into Jannat until each and every ummati of mine has entered into Jannat. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is His decision that there will be justice on the day of Qiyamah. So whoever has done injustice to anyone, then first there will be Hisab Kitab. The person will have to give an account of his deeds. And after that Allah Ta'ala will make the decision. So he says, I just thought that now on the day of Qiyamah, first of all Allah Ta'ala will call this person. And the decision will be made. He will be put into Jahannam. So my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to wait at the door of Jannat until this Jahannami comes out from there and goes into Jannat. So I did not desire that my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should wait at the doors for the sake of this person and for the sake of my little bit of money. So I forgave him. I said, Ya Allah, forgive him. I don't wish to hold him on that. So many incidents we can think of forgiveness. So we are not saying if somebody is owing you 100,000 rand, forgive the person. But what we are saying is that at least deal in a civilized manner. And also in our daily matters, and especially at home. Sometimes people think that what is the reason? Why is it that Mawlana is emphasizing this at home and with the wives? Mawlana is taking the part of the wives too much. Yes, I am taking the part of the wives because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took the part of the wives. He says Allah Ta'ala has made sifarish for them. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah Ta'ala has made sifarish for them. But that is not my problem. My problem is this, that in a home, and I will conclude on this, that in a home where husband and wife are fighting. Now one of the two things, either the husband is right or the wife is right. Both cannot be right. So the injustice is on behalf of the husband or injustice on behalf of the wife. One of the two is unjust or is not fulfilling the right and the obligations, responsibilities and duties that go with marriage. So the husband will curse the wife or the wife will curse the husband. One of the two things will happen when there's a husband-wife fight. I mentioned this to some friends and after that they said it opened our eyes to reality. I said, now when the husband and wife are fighting, what is going to happen is that the husband will say that I have this right and the wife is not fulfilling this right of mine. So therefore now the husband is asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to punish her. Or even if he doesn't ask, but Allah Ta'ala will now become annoyed and displeased with that wife because she is not fulfilling the duty and she is not fulfilling the responsibility. So Allah Ta'ala will send azab on her. Or it is the husband who is unjust, unfair, he is the one who is at fault. Now the wife is cursing him. So Allah Ta'ala will send the azab on the husband. So my question to these brothers was, that when the azab will come, whether on the wife or the husband, who will suffer? If the azab of Allah Ta'ala came on the husband, because he was unjust, he treated the wife in a very abusive manner, and he was negligent in his responsibilities and duties, and the wife cursed him. So he meets up with an accident, he cracks his skull or breaks his bones and lands himself in the hospital. Now will he be the only one that will suffer? The wife will suffer together with him. Now that same wife will sit and cry for that husband. And on the other hand, if it's the wife, now the husband was cursing, said this wife is very disobedient and she's like this and she's like that, so therefore he was cursing. Now Allah Ta'ala's azab came on her and she became bedridden. Or she got some kind of sickness or disease, now where she cannot even fulfill the role of a housewife. or she meets up with an accident or some other azab of Allah Ta'ala comes on her, then will that husband now be in peace? He will be the one that will have to now take her to the hospital and call the doctors and pay the doctor's bills and all the rest of it. So is it not sensible then that both forgive each other? If there is a problem, learn to forgive. Learn to talk. Learn to discuss the issue and then forgive. I am sorry. And most of us husbands, we find it below our dignity to tell the wife, please forgive me, I have harmed you, I have caused you some kind of hurt and injury and pain. We think it's below our dignity. Rather ask forgiveness in this world. Don't wait for the day of Qiyamah. And in fact, not day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala shakes the person even in this world. Look at the lives of those people who have done injustice to their wives and children or family members or friends or any other person and see even in this world the suffering later in life. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the true understanding of Islam and Deen and give us the tawfiq to make amal. And may Allah Ta'ala give us such akhlaq that people looking at our akhlaq start coming into the fold of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala remove the hardship, the problems, the difficulties, the trials that the Ummah is facing around the world, and especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kashmir. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala open the eyes of the enemies of Islam to the beautiful teachings of Deen and Islam and Sharia. And if they are very obstinate, they have made up their minds they will never accept Islam, and they have made up their minds they will continue persecution and torture and oppression and suppression, then we have got the right to make dua that Ya Allah, then destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.